Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
Thank you. It's so good to see y'all here again today. So, the title today is The Good Shepherd. So I wanted to start out reading what's known as the Shepherd Psalm, one of my favorite psalms. It's Psalm 23. And as I read it, I'm going to read it really slowly, and I'd like us to really absorb it and just take in the word pictures of Jesus as our good shepherd. So here it comes. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He provides all that I have need of. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Man, what a beautiful picture of love, provision, peace, protection, and promise. In our text today, Jesus is going to refer to himself with two more I am statements that are going to reveal the heart of this God we serve. Both of them will point to the shepherd imagery. One, he'll call himself the gate, and the other is the good shepherd. And it's a picture, a metaphor that's been used for God throughout all of Scripture. In the Old Testament, God referred to himself as the shepherd of Israel. One of many instances is Isaiah 40, verse 10 and 11, and it reads, "See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." Sorry, it's kind of hitting me hard this morning. As you think about your life with Jesus, are those words and the words of Psalm 23 the thoughts and the word pictures that come to mind for you? This is his hope for all of us. As we pick up with a new chapter today, we'll be picking up in chapter 10, and Jesus will use this imagery to describe the relationship he has with his followers, in contrast to the harsh demands of religion and those who use religion to control other people. If you remember where we left off last week, the religious leaders had just thrown a man born blind who Jesus had healed out of the Jewish community. Instead of embracing him, they excommunicated him. And Jesus used that as a springboard to kind of expose who those leaders really were, and maybe to comfort the healed man and other followers that it was okay if they were at odds with the religious system. That's not what God is up to anyway. For us here this morning, it becomes a challenge and an encouragement. It's a challenge because it's easy for me to stand here and say, you know, follow Jesus, not the religions of man. But what does that really mean? Everybody makes the claim that they're the ones really representing Jesus. The Mormons say they have the real Jesus. The Jehovah's Witnesses say that too. Baptists and Catholics adamantly claim their path is the Jesus certified one. You'll never find someone out there proclaiming, "We're a man-made, human-invented religion devised to exploit you. Come join us this Sunday." You won't hear that. No, everyone says they have the right Jesus. So do we just add our voice to the mix and tout the Eastgate Jesus as the official one? Instead of doing that, today we'll read how Jesus describes his relationship to his followers. And then we can examine ourselves and discern whether we're setting out to follow Christ or if we're simply sucked into a religious system. The contrast we're going to see in the text today can help us differentiate between following Jesus and following in religion. So if you're ready, we're going to pick up in chapter 10, verse 1. And it says, Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice." All right, so living in our modern world doesn't really provide us too many parallels with shepherding, so we have to do a little research to put together exactly what Jesus is describing here. In ancient Palestine, most families kept sheep, and usually the younger members of the family would be in charge of tending them, taking them out to pasture during the day. But in the evening, all the families would come back to the village where there'd be a common sheep pen. And most likely it was a walled enclosure, maybe something like this, with a gate. And each kid would lead his sheep back into the pen. The one in charge of guarding the pen would recognize the shepherd and allow him and the sheep to go in and to leave the next morning. And when the shepherd would leave, he'd give a little call or a whistle or sometimes play a tune on a flute that the sheep were familiar with, and they would follow him out of the pen. All of this in contrast to someone who sneaks into the pen to steal the sheep away by force. This is imagery Jesus is pulling from, something very familiar to the people that he was talking to, not maybe so much to us. But all of this is brought up in the context of the religious leaders kicking the healed man out of the synagogue. He clearly meant to depict the religious leaders and really the whole system as it had evolved as false, of something to be contrasted with the way God wanted to be able to relate to his people. His point is plainly, don't be taken captive by a religious system or some religious leader. Follow me, follow Jesus. But as we said in the beginning, that's a bit more challenging proposition than it seems on the surface. How can we know if we're really following Jesus and not a religion? And this isn't about figuring out what church denomination has the real Jesus in view. This is a personal question. Because a person could just as easily be following religion instead of Jesus here as well as anywhere else. Jesus gives us clues, though, in this metaphor, in a contrast between robbers and shepherds. His point is to reveal a distinction, because he starts off describing someone who's sneaking over the wall, who, even though he does get in with the sheep, he can't lead them away. He has to steal them or force them to go with him. So the first clue in discerning who we follow is to recognize that Jesus invites us to follow. Religion coerces us to conform. A robber has to coerce the sheep to go somewhere, but Jesus simply gives his word and invites us to follow. Religion's coercive and manipulative, but Jesus leads us by compassionate invitation, always looking out for our well-being. So in examining ourselves today, we have to consider, why am I here today? Do I show up on Sunday mornings because I have to, because I've been forced into it, either by some outside influence or some nagging sense of guilt or obligation? Or am I looking for someone's approval? Am I attaching myself to Christianity because I'm deathly afraid of hell? If that's my reasoning, there might be a robber at work. These are symptoms of coercion. And in contrast to that, Jesus describes a shepherd who knows his sheep and whose sheep know his voice. That is, we hear his word and we just know there's something to this. It's like hearing a familiar song that we're sure we know from somewhere, so we move towards it instinctively. With all the voices that are out there in the world today, with all the static, something is coming through, something that seems right. And this isn't to say we understand what we sense intuitively. We just know there's something there in his message, in his person. So we hear his invitation and we follow. We're not forced. We're not threatened. We're not pressured. It's not the hell, the fear of hell that moves us. It's the thrill of adventure, the hope of new life, of redemption, of green pastures and still waters. If guilt is our constant prod, then let's stop right here, right now, and acknowledge something's been wrong. A robber's been at work. And in full freedom, let's consider this Jesus and what he said and what he's offered, what he's done, and see if something in our heart stirs to come after him. Let's be sheep who know their loving shepherd, not some stolen flock commandeered by religion. Okay, well, the people listening to him are a little bit slow on the uptake, so we're going to pick up in verse 6. It says, those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Okay, so they didn't follow him initially, so he switches up the metaphor and calls himself now the gate. This probably still has a shepherd imagery in mind because in some of the enclosures outside of town, the pen was a stone-walled circle with a gap in it. I have a photo here. And at night, the shepherd would lay his own body in the gap to keep the sheep safe from thieves or predators. So the person literally became a door to the sheepfold, like you see in the bottom and there. Here he's pointing out the difference between the interests at stake. The thief is out to get what he wants for himself at any cost to the life and property of others. The shepherd's gate is all about preserving, protecting, and advancing life for others, like we read in Psalm 23. It's a stinging contrast between himself and the religious leaders of his day, but it still provides us a clue to discerning if we're following Jesus or a religion. So I think the next thing we can learn from our text today is that Jesus brings wholeness to life. Religion simply consumes life. Religion becomes an end of itself, exhausting people and resources. Religion becomes life-consuming. It grinds a person down. But Jesus comes to bring life, advance wholeness in each person, restoring our humanity and our sense of identity. So again, we want to ask ourselves, what are the characteristics of my Christianity? Is my life being consumed by supporting a system, whether that's Eastgate or church in general? Do I show up or claim Christianity simply to keep the gears running smoothly? If so, a thief is in our midst. In contrast, following Jesus is more like clinging to one who rescues us, like we'd cling to a Coast Guard crewman pulling us out of a sinking ship. It's the desire to be nearer to the source of life, not an obligation that wears us down. So as we sit here this morning, let's examine ourselves. What is my pursuit producing in my experience? Are we worn out, ground down by our obligation to keep the system going? Are we coming more alive as we seek to know Christ, as we follow him and his teachings and talk to him in prayer? His offer is abundant life. That's not just heaven when we die. It's not the cheap materialistic nonsense televangelists tout. Abundant life means wholeness in life, right here and right now. A contentment that's not dependent on circumstances being favorable, a contentment that stems from knowing who we are, who we belong to, and where we're headed. Well, finishing up, we'll pick up in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He'll abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and really doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me.
just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. When he said these things, the people were again divided in their opinions about him. Some said, he's demon-possessed and out of his mind. Why listen to a man like that? Others said, this doesn't sound like a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? All right, so Jesus finishes up his discourse by providing a definition of a true shepherd, right? One who isn't just looking out for his own interests or profits. In fact, the ultimate test of what he's in it for comes when he's faced with a choice. Run away from a predator like a lion, a tiger, or a bear, or be prepared to die for the sheep you're determined to protect. And this is clearly foreshadowing, of course, what Jesus does for us on the cross. And all these are hints building towards that event in John's gospel. He points also to the resurrection, that he'll take his life back up again. And the larger picture starts to come into focus when he talks about sheep from another fold that'll be coming in, talking about the Gentiles, about us, and how there's now one people reconciled with God under Christ. And this makes people think he's crazy again. But true to his word, some people hear something in what he says, and they follow him. And for us, as we're considering the contrast between following religion and following our Savior, we see that religion seeks self-preservation, but Jesus gives life through sacrificial love. We're only valuable to religion as long as we can maintain and promote the system. Derail from that and you're dismissed at best and vilified at worst. The first church that I came to be a part of as an adult was skilled at vilification. It was really large church, and if anybody left the church, well, they were labeled heretics, and surely curses would be coming on them and their families. That's the message we heard from the pulpit anyway. They were big on manipulating and controlling people through fear, and it really took me working at that church to realize the depth of deception that was going on there. I remember when I finally left, I was really in fear that the pastor or his minions were going to be coming after me because I worked in the accounting department. And I thought surely, you know, all that stuff they would want to keep hidden. But honestly, there was no shame in their religious elitist game. Instead, I was labeled blind and lost, at the very least, for leaving, and likely much worse than that. Jesus, on the other hand, laid down his life to label me his own, to name you and me his children, his beloved, his redeemed, his enabled, his co-laborers of unsurpassable worth. A people worth dying for, who he loves with an everlasting, eternal love, a perfect love, not because we're perfect, but because he is perfect love itself. Not because we deserve him, but because he desires us. He's jealous for us. He's zealous for us, his word says. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he still chooses us anyway. Amen. That's right. Yes. He's placed heavenly potential in our earthly bodies, and he rejoices over us with singing. Have you heard his serenade, friends? This is what his word proclaims about us. Is this the Jesus you've come to know? I pray so. How can we tell if we're following religion or really following Christ? Do we believe what the scriptures declare? That he values us, that he intends to preserve us, that he wants what's best for us because he loves us? Do we feel important to God? Or do we feel like God just tolerates us and will only do so for as long as, you know, we don't mess up? Do we feel insignificant or irrelevant if we aren't accomplishing something grand? If that's the case, it's time to really think about what Jesus is revealing here. It's important that right here, right now, we allow ourselves to be confronted by His amazing love. Right now is the time to quit following a religion if we have been and start following this Christ. It's time to embrace the reality that His love is the priority and His purpose is to redeem, that we are important and valued and loved by Him. To believe that we're known and loved to come and to come to know and love the Good Shepherd, well, that's what the heart of following Jesus is all about. Verse 14 said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. And then he compares that again, as he has throughout John's gospel, to that intimate relationship he has with his Father. That's his heart for us, to be so closely connected to him that we hear him whisper, you're mine and I'm yours. That we sense his warm embrace as we follow him all the days of our lives. So I'd like to do something as we finish our study today. I'd like us to make a statement of faith together, if you're willing. You don't have to. If you don't want to, I'm not coercing anybody. But if you're willing, let's make the statement. And as we do, we'll embrace this love of Christ and allow him to set our course as we continue following him. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say a statement, and then I'll ask y'all to just repeat that statement after me. So here we go. I am a follower of Christ.
I am a follower of Christ.
I am known by God.
I am known by God.
I have value as a person.
I have value as a person.
Jesus loves me as I am, not as I should be.
Jesus loves me as I am.
So I will follow Jesus.
I will follow Jesus.
And I will learn to really live. Now let's really believe all of that. Sorry, that's it. Good job, you guys. You did such a great job. Let's embrace the beauty of our shepherd's voice. Sorry, this has been an emotional day for some reason. I think God is just here and wanting us to just really know his love and his presence for every single one of you. Next week, we'll be talking about some different kind of shepherds, right? It'll be our last service before Christmas, and we'll be having our community Christmas dinner, as Tron mentioned. I look forward to that very much, to celebrating with you guys then. And so we'll close with prayer, and we'll go out of here knowing how loved we are by our God. So, Father God, thank you. Thank you for your word today. Thank you that you are a good shepherd, that you wrap your arms of love around each of us, God. And I just pray that all of us would sense your presence, God, as we walk out of this building, as we go about our days and our mundane lives and our busy lives, God, that you would break through and that we would tune in and hear you. Experience your life-giving love, Lord. Bless your family here. Bless my brothers and sisters, Father God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Go in peace, you children of God.